Kia ora and welcome to this episode of The Amateur Austenite. I'm Frances Duncan, an author and the founder of the Jane Austen Society of Aotearoa New Zealand. My co-host is Emmy.
Kia ora.
Today we're discussing Chapter 12 of Northanger Abbey. In Chapter 12, Catherine tries to visit Miss Tilney and is rebuffed, but manages to explain herself to Mr. Tilney at the theatre. And John Thorpe is
Thorpin.
John Thorpe is Thorpin. Yeah, let's do that. Mrs. Allen's advice to Catherine when she's like, I've horribly offended the Tilneys. What should I do? Is
wear white.
Miss Tilney always wears white. Yeah.
But like also like she's not wrong in that dressing it in a way that you know that the person that you're trying to apologize to, like favors, can help. When your mum is like, how dare you do whatever you just did? Like, when you need to go and apologize, you wear the thing that, like, she got you that you don't wear because you don't like it, but she did get it for you. So you wear that. And then it's like, I'm very sorry. Look, I'm decked out in my dutiful daughter outfit. Same thing. I'm very sorry. Look, I'm decked out in my dutiful friend outfit. Please forgive me.
I mean, I am wearing earrings that you bought me.
You are.
Which was only partially intentional because I wore them yesterday. So they were sitting there and I'm like, oh, I'm seeing you today, so I'll wear them. I mean, not that I've done anything to piss you off.
No.
Just to be like, look, I appreciate that you bought me things and that you do podcasts with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Catherine gets turned away at the Tilney's door and is so upset about it. So that for like a second, she thinks about not going to the theatre.
But she thinks she'd have too much fun at the theatre. And that's so great. Because Who amongst us in our teenage angst has not run up into our room, slammed the door and gone, I'm never ever going to see any of them ever again. I hate them all so much. And then like 2 hours later been like, I am so bored. I am going to have to go back downstairs.
But we do these things. Cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
And Austen talks about it further down in the chapter as well. When she can tell that Mr. Tilney's upset at her, instead of considering her own dignity injured by this condemnation, resolving in conscious innocence to show her resentment and possibly flirt with someone else. People still do that. Well, he ignored me, so I'm going to go flirt with some other guy. Never solves the situation.
No.
Just makes it worse.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those sections where Austen is pointing out the difference between Catherine and the heroine TM, who would have done this. So fabulous and aware of social mores. By digging the hole deeper, she would be able to reach the surface again.
Why do people do that? We just dig holes deeper.
Because confronting the fact that you were wrong and like genuinely apologizing for the situation is really difficult and makes you feel bad. And if you just ignore the situation, sometimes it will go away or create an even worse situation that someone else has to solve. And either way, you don't have to deal with it.
Valid. Catherine has zero chill. I've been wild to speak to you and apologize. I was so rude, but it wasn't my fault. Mrs. Allen, didn't Mr. Thorpe tell me that they were going off together? Mrs. Allen is just like, you tumbled my gown. But if Mr. Thorpe had stopped, I would have jumped out and ran after you. And Austen's line, is there a Henry in the world who could be insensible to such a declaration?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so eager and really not good at hiding her feelings. I'm pretty sure at this point Mr. Tilney must also be like, so you're into me, huh?
I feel like at this point there are like flashing lights and sirens about that fact. It does continue to drive my, wow, the Thorpes are really bad people. Isabella and John have both like conspired and set up this action in the previous chapter, have intentionally done this to separate. Like they actively lied, they actively knew, they actively like convinced and talked her into something that she wouldn't have done if she'd known that the walk was still going to be happening. And then we get the return of the Thorpe a bit later where he's talking to General Tilney.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is he trying to convey about the situation? What is he trying to manipulate? Do I think the general will inherently believe anything he says? No, not really. Thorpe is like a very obviously young jerk and therefore to someone, a well-established person, much like General Tilney is, like, kind of presented as, he would have the ability to be like, so...
You're full of shit?
Yeah, you are. Absolutely not. But it doesn't change the fact that he tried.
I think there's a little bit of Thorpe puffing himself up as well. Because mm-hmm. he's like, there are a few people in town that I don't know. Of course I know him. I see him everywhere. I even beat him at billiards. And I'm like, oh yes, he thinks you're wonderful just like I do. And then carries on with this delicate flattery, which Catherine is not into. She is entreating him to be done, and yeah. he won't. Which, consent, ma'am? Look it up.
I don't know that this man can actually read.
I mean, good call.
Austin put that very significant effort to showing how unreliable he is as a narrator with the horse conversation at the start of, oh, this horse, you know, it's all acting, you know, it can be fits and starts and da-da-da. And
25 miles, no, 23, no, 25.
And then being in the carriage, like, it's going to be a dangerous ride, oh, it's a smooth ride, da-da-da. And just, like, very clearly establishing that he will just talk shit. And doesn't actually put any real thought into what he's saying and what it means, except that it can get him something that he wants. And at the moment, what he wants is Catherine's attention.
Why do you think he wants Catherine's attention?
I'm trying to figure it out, honestly. He seems like he's the kind of person who wants, like, relationship, where he wants to marry some woman who's got a big dowry or something, and therefore can pay off the inevitable gambling debts that he definitely has. This man talks way too much shit for him not to be in, like, deep debt. Like,
that's an excellent point.
Like, a number that we in modern day would go, ooh, without having to do an inflation conversion, you know? Like, this man is in deep. But Catherine hasn't been presented as someone who has that kind of financial setup. Her parents sent her off with 10 guinea, not with 100 pounds, not with infinite access to the bank, 10 guinea. For a 6-week holiday in Bath? That is a very, like, restricted budget. That is not, I can fix your life for you.
And you got to remember, they have 10 kids too.
Yeah.
So any sort of monies for dowry would have to be separated amongst all of them.
Yeah.
When Catherine is talking to Mr. Tilney, he's like, no, I wouldn't, I didn't mean the things, blah, blah, blah. He says, my sister knew it was probably a misunderstanding. And she quite innocently is like, but why were you less generous than your sister? She had confidence in my intentions and thought it was a mistake. Why would you take offense? And he's like, I didn't. And she's like, you looked like you were angry. And then he's like, okay. And then he takes a seat and actually starts talking yeah. to her. Like, I love that interaction. She calls him out and he's like, okay, so maybe I'd like you too. Sits down to have a conversation. I love that.
It's so good.
They have such cute interactions.
They do. And again, they continue to have very balanced interactions.
I'm really impressed that Catherine is actually saying things and having an opinion and calling him out.
But also, like, this is the only person who we've seen give the space for that. Like, his entire first interaction with her is asking her opinion on things. Sure, it's very minor things, but he's making that, like, standard boring conversation something interesting to get her to actually engage, and has been able to maintain that in all of their interactions, which no one else has. Everyone else has gone like, oh, aren't you a dear? I'm going to do my own thing. Or, aren't you a dear? I'm going to do my own thing and you're going to have to come with me or else. Which is Isabella.
That's pretty accurate, yeah. And we haven't seen enough of her with Miss Tilney yet to really see how that relationship yeah. will go. But it's not the, oh, you're my dearest friend, like with Isabella.
Not an immediate, like, we have to be besties now. Isabella does seem very much like she is the kind of person who wants to be the center of attention and doesn't want to have anything threaten that. But also, you need to kind of think about the fact that when she met Isabella, she'd been without, like, friends or acquaintances for, like, what, like a week?
Yeah, I think so.
So, like, that's a long time to be isolated. So, yeah, you would leap immediately upon the person who offered you the, like, societal backing of engagement.
You do need people to talk to, and you can't talk to Mrs. Allen.
You really can't.
And that is our discussion of Chapter 12 of Northanger Abbey. I'm Frances Duncan. This has been Emmy. Thank you for listening, and we wish you happy reading. Did I tell you why I say it in that order? Because it's jazz hands, and I want it to be like jazz hands.